Continuing our lesson from last week, part two of the information that Paul gave to Titus in Titus chapter 3. In the first part of this lesson, he reminds the people, or reminds Titus to remind the people, of the life that they are commanded to live now that they are Christians. And he reminds Titus to remind the people of the kind of life that they had lived in their past, the things that they had done that was sinful. And what we talked about in showing the difference as we went from verses 1 and 2 to verse 3 in chapter 3, as to how they are to be now, as opposed to how they used to be, we made a point to say that this is a change that they must make if they're going to be faithful to God. And it's not just a one-time change. It's not just, okay, we're going to change for a minute, and then we're going to change right back. That's not what it is. It is a change that we make, and we continue to live that way throughout our lives. We make a change now and we continue to live differently because we are now Christians. And it's important for these Christians to realize that this change is necessary. Now, as we get into the last part of this passage, as we go into verse 4 of chapter 3, it says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." So after he says that we must change, make this change, he's now going to tell Titus to remind the Christians of whom Titus is preaching how they were saved from their sins. If they're going to be different, then why are they different? What gives them opportunity to be different? It's because they have changed, they are forgiven, they are living faithfully, but it's because God gave them that opportunity to be different and to change. And that's what we're going to talk about in the second part of this lesson, in the reminder from Paul to Titus part 2, is we're going to learn the reasons why a Christian can be saved. And this will hopefully encourage us to appreciate Christ more. And realize, okay, we're going to make this change, but we want to make this change. Why is that? Why do we want to? Why are we able to? So this is what this last part of this passage is referring to, how we can be different. The first thing we're going to notice in looking at why we can be saved, is the first reason is because of our Savior's kindness. Because He has been kind to us. Verse 4, "But when the kindness and the love of God..." So you have kindness and love. And of course, those two things kind of go hand in hand anyway. We have love, we have kindness. Now, when you look over in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 that was given to us by God, love and kindness given to us by Him, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." All right, so we were living in sin, and sin was in the world, mankind was in sin. And even though mankind was in sin and going against God's will, God still showed His love toward us, or His kindness toward us, in that He died for us. And so this is the kindness, this is the love of the Savior. This is the kindness that made sinners righteous. And this is the grace of God that brings salvation. You can go back up in chapter Titus, or in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, but we read mostly verse 11 for this point. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So His grace is mentioned, His kindness is mentioned, His love is mentioned, and all those things go hand in hand. And what does it do? According to verse 11, it brings salvation. This is the grace of God that brings salvation. And God's grace and mercy, going back over to Romans again, and this time going to Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, in talking about God's love and God's grace and God's mercy, says, or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God, so here's another word, goodness of God leads you to repentance. We have kindness, we have love, we have grace, and we have goodness. And the goodness is what leads us to repentance. And how is that? Well, when we see what He was willing to do so that we can be saved from our sins, we recognize that He sent His Son to us, to the earth, to die on the cross for us so that we can be saved from our sins, then that should cause us to want to change our minds and our lives from the sinfulness of sin into the new creature, into the new Christian. So that's what our Savior's kindness does for us. That's what His love does for us. That's what His goodness does for us. That's His grace that is shown in us, shown to us. This is what we have as far as why we can be saved, our Savior's kindness. The second thing that the passage mentions, after it says His kindness and the love of God toward man, our Savior toward man appeared, then we see that it's God's Word that leads us to our salvation. It's not because we're not saved because we have earned our salvation. It's not, as He says, by works of righteousness. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. And by works of righteousness which we have done, those are works which are works of merit. Works where we have somehow think that we have earned our salvation. We haven't earned anything. This is the kind of works that it's talking about here. It's not by works of righteousness, or not by works of merit, not by works of righteousness which we are saved. And that's the kind of works like that Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 through 9 is talking about, where through by grace you are saved through faith, and the not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's works of merit that that's talking about. We're not saved by those kinds of works. But notice that the same verse that says we're not saved by works of righteousness which we have done does put forth a condition. So there is something that we have to do. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. How? Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So it's conditional. It's conditioned based upon the washing of washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. These are, it's not works of merit which were saved. These are works of faith of which we are saved. Do we have faith enough to do what the Lord told us to do in order to be saved? Now we look over, first of all, in John chapter 3 and verse 3. And remember the one who traveled to see Jesus, and he traveled by night, we're told, but he comes to see Jesus, a man by the name of Nicodemus. Jesus told Nicodemus in verse 3 of chapter 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, what regeneration, back to our text, when it talks about regeneration, the washing of regeneration, that's the same idea of being born again. That's the same phrase there, the same idea. So regeneration is a new birth, and we're told that we have to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God, according to Jesus as he speaks to Nicodemus in this passage. Now we look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, and this is in the context where it's talking about a wife and a husband's relationship and comparing that to the church and Christ's relationship. And it says in verse 26, in regard to Christ to the church, verse 26 says that he might sanctify, that's to set apart, and cleanse her, how? With the washing of water by the word. So here it is again. You have the washing of water by the word. That's how we're sanctified. That's how we're cleansed. Back over in Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, it's the washing of regeneration. Over in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 3, it is the fact that we must be born again. So again, here's this change, the change that we were talking about last week. But it has to be done through the washing of regeneration. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 puts it simply this way, baptism doth also now save us. Just straightforward and simple. So we have that being necessary, a work of faith, being baptized in water, in order to have salvation. It's not works of merit where we earn it, but it is having to do something. And then the second part of that is the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And this isn't talking about the Holy Spirit somehow coming directly into our heart and operating on our hearts and changing us directly. It is us through His Word, which the Holy Spirit revealed to us, reading it and studying it. What happens when we read and study the Word of God? Well, it should change our hearts if we have honest and good hearts. And it should cause us to want to change our lives like we talked about last week. So we have to use the Word given by the Holy Spirit to make this change. We learn the truth and we realize we should change. Now it's pretty easy to see the difference between a work of merit and a work of faith. And I did so kind of illustrating this by means of a chart. And we look at an example in the Bible, in the Old Testament, which was a work of faith. Jericho was a gift to the people. Now remember that as they were given Jericho, they were told what to do to obtain Jericho. And remember, they were told they had to march around the walls. And if they marched around the wall a certain amount of time and did so exactly like God commanded, then the walls would fall and they'd be able to go in and take Jericho. And so the question is that a work of faith or is that a work of merit? By them marching around the walls of Jericho, did that cause them to earn Jericho? Well, no, because they didn't have to do anything except walk around it a few times, right? So it didn't cause them to earn anything. That is a work of faith, not a work of merit. Likewise, if someone tells you that they will give you $100 if you shake their hand, they stick their hand out and say, if you shake my hand, I'll give you a $100 bill right now. Do they earn that by shaking their hand? Certainly not. That is a gift, isn't it? That's a gift that's given. So Jericho was a gift. Money for nothing would certainly be a gift. Those are works of faith. Now, on the other hand, if God would have told the Jews, you need to go, you need to tear down those walls, brick by brick, go to Jericho, knock them down, go in and destroy everybody. I'm just going to stay back and let you do it all yourself. And then they tore down the walls and took that city. That would be a work of merit. They would have earned that. See? If someone said, okay, if you come and you work for me, you work all day for me, I'll give you a certain amount of money at the end of the day. If you do this labor for me all day, then by the end of the day when they're given the money, they've earned the money. It wasn't a handout. It was that the fact that they had earned it. Now, the work of faith, how is it done? If Jericho was to be taken, what did the people have to do? They had to march around. What if they didn't march around the city? They wouldn't have gotten Jericho. The walls of the city wouldn't have fallen. If you wouldn't shake the person's hand, you wouldn't get the money. You see, so it is conditional. You have to do something, but it doesn't cause you to earn it. And that's a concept that's not hard to understand, and yet much of our religious world doesn't get it. You have to do something, but it doesn't cause you to earn it. We can have both works of faith and God's grace and love and goodness and mercy and all that we talked about in the first point. Those all go hand in hand. When James in James chapter 2 says faith without works is dead, and he says it three times, faith without works is dead, faith without works is dead, then we understand that we have to do something. That's talking about a work of faith. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, when he says, not of works, lest anyone should boast, that's talking about a work of merit, where you don't earn your salvation. And so we see the difference between a work of faith and a work of merit. Now back to our text in Titus chapter 3 again, back to our text. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Then verse 6, whom He poured out on us abundantly. And that's talking about, that's in the context of the Holy Spirit. And renewing of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit's the Word of God that's been given to us. But it says, whom He, the Holy Spirit, poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that's the third point of this, that the Holy Spirit is poured out on us. Well, how is the Holy Spirit poured out on us? Again, it's not miraculously. It's not by touching our hearts. It's not by coming into us in some miraculous way. It's not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit or being able to perform spiritual gifts or any other miraculous pouring out of the Holy Spirit. But it is the fact that the Bible has promised us many bountiful blessings that we receive as the Bible, the Holy Spirit, reveals that to us. What do we have that has been given to us, provided to us? What kind of bountiful blessings have been poured out on us? Well, we enjoy blessings on this earth. We enjoy the fact that we have the church here on earth, where we can assemble together, we can encourage one another. You know, we can call on one another when we need to. We can pray for one another when we need to. We have the blessing of having peace of mind, knowing that we're Christians, knowing that we're saved from our sins. We have the blessings of being able to come and worship God together. There's all of these different blessings that we have as Christians. But then there's blessings that we'll have eternally also, where we'll be able to live in heaven with God and Jesus and with all the others who are there. We'll be able to have an eternal salvation. All of these are blessings that the Holy Spirit has poured out on us. It's being revealed to us in God's Word that we have been blessed bountifully as Christians. So here we are. We've made this change. We've gone from living sinfully in the world, speaking evil of others. We've been foolish, disobedient, deception, all the things that we talked about. We went from that to a life of Christ, to living differently. And in that, it's because of our Savior's kindness. It's through God's Word that we have those blessings. And the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us. And then Jesus justifies us. Verse 7. That having been justified by His grace, so we have, again, not works of merit, works of faith, but it's still through His grace, still through His love, having been justified, by His grace, then we become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The word justified means declared to be righteous. And again, we're not declared to be righteous because we deserve to be declared to be righteous, or we've earned the right to be righteous. We are righteous because God makes us righteous. Now, we're able to be heirs and be able to have the hope of eternal life because God has justified us. Because God has made us righteous. It's through His grace and mercy that He makes us righteous. Back over in Romans again, Romans chapter 5, and this time go to verse 9. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 9. This time, we saw verse 8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. So here that word justification is again, justified, much more than having now been justified. How? By His blood. So how is it that we have become justified? By His grace, by Jesus Christ's grace, it's by His blood. When His blood was shed, when He died on the cross for us, then we became justified. We are able to be heirs through Him. But here's putting it all together. Okay, we're justified by His grace, but what has to happen? You got to go back to verse 5. You can't leave verse 5 out. Through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So you have to have, that condition has to be met. To be baptized for the remission of our sins has to be met in order to be justified by Him and in order to accept the gift of His blood. Well, let's look at now, finally, at the end of our lesson, let's look at our responsibility toward this teaching. And I want you to look with me at verse 8 now, as far as what we must do. We must, according to verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. I want you to notice a phrase in here, and I understand different ones read from different versions. Yours may read a little bit different. I believe the King James and the New King James read the way I'm reading from the New King James. Others, again, may say something a little different. But I want you to look at this phrase, and I underlined it in my Bible because of how important I believe this phrase is, not just as a preacher, but as a Christian in general, but certainly as a preacher, it's important to me, where he says, I want you to affirm constantly. That word constantly, affirm it constantly. Now again, Paul is talking to Titus. Titus was an evangelist for the church in Crete. And Paul's telling Titus that his responsibility as a preacher of the gospel is to affirm the reason why we can be saved, why he could be saved, and why everyone else could be saved, to affirm that on a regular basis. Now remember, he told Timothy the same thing. He told Timothy to preach the word, be ready in season, out of season. Same thing. To Titus, he says, you affirm it constantly. He didn't say, okay, every once in a while, when you get the opportunity, when you get the chance, say it, tell somebody about it. No, he said to affirm constantly the word. You don't quit. You don't say, well, I don't think I need to affirm it today. I don't think I need to live it today. I don't think I need to preach it today or teach it today. As Christians, we should be like Christ. We should be able to look out and see, and I have a couple of passages here in Matthew which talk about it, where he and the others looked out and saw those who were lost in sin. And remember how he looked at those who were lost? he was moved with compassion. And as he was moved with compassion, he saw lost sheep that needed a shepherd. Is that our viewpoint as we're living our Christian life? Here we are. We've accepted the gift that's been given to us. We've changed our lives. We're living according to Him now instead of in the world. And this is a gift. How are we living? Are we living in such a way where we look out and we see lost souls in the world and we desire their salvation? That's what Jesus wanted of all of these. He saw a plentiful harvest that needed laborers. We, brethren, are the laborers. Not just the preachers, not just elders. All of us as members, we are all the laborers. We should all do our part to share it with them. Now notice again, verse 8. I want you to. This is a faithful saying. These things, I want you to affirm constantly that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Who's he talking about? He's telling Titus, you go and preach to those who have been saved, those who have made this change. They've gone from a life of sin to a life of Christ. You remind them, you affirm to them constantly that they should be careful to maintain these good works. You need to maintain the good works. And everybody else needs to maintain these good works. Constantly affirm the way of salvation, to remind ourselves and to teach others. You know, preaching gets repetitious. We talk about the same things. We have the same kind of points. We talk about how to be saved over and over and over again. What are we doing? We're not just teaching us those things. We're reminding ourselves of those things. We're reminding ourselves of why we're Christians, why we're here, why we're doing what we are doing. When one is constantly preaching about our hope, about our salvation, about why we can be saved in the first place, what's that do? That makes us appreciate it, doesn't it? Instead of us doing it once and forgetting it and not thinking about it anymore, instead of us, you know, just kind of going along and doing good here and there, whatever. No, we're constantly reminding ourselves of these things so that we will be careful to maintain good works. It's easy for us to forget the reason why we have all these spiritual blessings if we don't remind ourselves of them. You know, when we look back at the cross every first day of the week, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we think about the great love that God has demonstrated to us in so many ways, in all the ways that He has, then hopefully when we remember those things as we are affirming constantly and we are to maintain good works, when we think about those things and we think about this love that He had for us and we remember all that He's done for us, then hopefully that will remind us to tell Him thank you. And not just to tell Him thank you in a prayer, but the best kind of thanks we could ever give Him is the life that we live. We're telling Him thank you by how we live each and every day. We must continue to maintain these good works. Now skip down with me also in verse 14, because we saw... we've been reading over and over again. I want this to stick in your head. That's why I've been repeating it. And I want it to stay in my head too. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Look at verse 14. And let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. That's kind of the theme to Titus. All right, Titus, you need to establish the eldership. You need to make sure they're qualified. You need to show the older women and the younger women and all these others as individuals how they need to live their lives. You all need to make a change. You all need to keep this change from the world to now living the Christian life. You can do so because you have been forgiven through the kindness and love of the Savior and through your obedience to Him. Now I want you to remember that. I don't ever want you to forget it. I want you to constantly preach it. I want you to tell everybody you come across about it. And I want you then to maintain your good works. That's the message to Titus. And that's the message to us. And I hope that all of us are doing just that. That we are maintaining good works. If you haven't yet become a child of God and started your journey of being a Christian, we want you to accept the Lord's gift. We want you to do what's necessary to be saved from your sins. We want you to repent of your sins and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. We urge you to do what is necessary to be saved. Not anything you earn, but something that you're given as a gift. And yet you'll meet the conditions to receive that gift. If you need to become a child of God, we want you to do that. If you're already a Christian and you haven't been maintaining, you haven't been living faithfully, we urge you to repent, to change, to turn back to God. And if we can assist you in doing that, won't you come while we stand, while we sing? There's a